My name is Sandy Ginger. I am 55 years old. Today is Wednesday, September 30th. I am in Las Vegas, Nevada, and my conversation partner today is my mother, Sheila.
I'm Sheila Burns. I'm 81. This is Wednesday, September 30th, 2020. And I'm also in Las Vegas, and I'm conversing with my daughter, Sandra, or Sandy.
And then we can just start. Okay. So first, Mom, I wanted to talk about when you were I want to talk to you about when you were a little girl and when you got sick with polio. So can you tell me about that?
Well, my sister and I were staying with our aunt and uncle because our mother was in the hospital.
That was Aunt Nellie and Uncle Carl?
That's where we were staying, yeah, okay. On the farm. And they thought at first I had a kidney infection, but when we went, after my mother died, we went back for the funeral. My dad took me to the doctor, and right from there, we drove right to the hospital. And I was in isolation. I was 8 years old. And I was in isolation for 2 weeks. And then for 2 months, I was in a ward with other children with polio, where they treated us with hot packs, which was invented by Sister Kenny, who worked with children with polio. I was very lucky in that I had bulbar polio, and most people who have it don't live. So I have one side of my throat paralyzed, but I'm...
So when you were in the isolation for 2 weeks, that was in the hospital?
Right.
And was, like, no one, Judy or Grandpa, nobody could come see
you
then?
No, nobody. Even the priest stood in the doorway and waved at me. Mm-hmm. So
that was probably kind of scary when you were only eight.
Yes, it was. It was scary, and it was totally boring.
Did you have books with you?
No, I had no books, and there were no TVs in those days.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it was pretty boring.
So then after 2 weeks, you went in this unit. Was that in the same hospital?
Yes, just kind of down the hall. It was almost like a sun porch that they had converted for the children with polio. And there were probably 8 to 10 of us in that room, and varied.
Uh-huh. And then in there, could people come visit? Or were you...
Yes, okay. Yes. But the only one that was anywhere in the vicinity at that point then was my dad. And he did come to see me, yes.
And so where was that? Where was the hospital then?
In Omaha.
In Omaha. Oh, okay. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
And then where were you living?
It was a Catholic hospital. I think it's St. Joseph's.
I should probably know that, but I don't... Okay. So then where was Grandpa living then?
Like Scribner, Nebraska,
yeah,
right outside of, it's not very far from Omaha.
Right. And so you were, when that happened though, you were staying with Aunt Nellie and Uncle Carl, who were like Grandma and Grandpa Carl to me. Like, it's funny because I think, like, in my mind, I always knew you called them Aunt Nellie and Uncle Carl, but I didn't make the connection that they weren't your mom and dad, like, because I called them Grandpa and Grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I don't even remember how old I was when I finally, like, met your dad and went, what? I didn't even know.
Well,
after
mother died, Judy, my sister, and I went to live with Aunt Nellie and Uncle Carl. Now, they had a farm in South Dakota. We used to visit them during the summers when my mother was alive, because Aunt Nellie was
her
sister.
Which I think, because I remember I loved as a kid going to visit them on the farm. Like, that was the greatest summer vacation ever for a kid from Las Vegas. But so when you would go visit them, was that fun?
Well, oh, like, yeah, it was. Yeah. And because we were pretty young at that point. And then when we went to live there, after Mother died, we lived with Aunt Nellie and Uncle Carl. I always say they have a special place in heaven. They had no children of their own, but we were their girls.
Right. Well, I said I didn't even know they weren't your mom and dad. So I think we might need to take a break and go turn her phone. Can you hear her phone in the other room? Oh, so I'm gonna go turn your phone off. Okay, sorry about that.
I didn't hear.
Well, you have that thing that announces who's calling. Anyway, okay, sorry about that. Okay, so we were talking about when on the farm, I said, because I used to love to go there, and then when you guys would go stay with them when you were little, and you, would your mom and dad would go too with you?
My mom. My dad was usually going to summer school.
Oh, okay.
So we would go and spend that. But it was a different, way different farm than what you're remembering.
Well, yeah, I know that wasn't the one that you grew up on.
It was, the farm I grew up on was a really beautiful farm. Uncle Carl was very meticulous. We took down a lot, picked a lot of weeds. And everything was always neat. And we had horses. Well, we had all kinds of animals on the farm.
So when you went go there and visit versus when you went there and now you lived there, like how was that when you went there to visit? I assume you weren't baling hay.
No, no, that came along with living there.
So when, like how was it different when you went to live there from having been
a visitor? We were pretty young, so we had chores, but you know, it was, pretty easy. As we got older, we did haul a lot of hay bales and mm-hmm. feed a lot of chickens. But we also had our own horses and saddles. In fact, we had working saddles and show saddles and a lot of Western where we showed a matched pair of horses. So we had...
Well, Grandpa was a really good horseman.
Oh, yes.
I remember.
Like, oh, yes.
Everyone always talked about, I mean, I wouldn't know, but I just remember everybody talking about how good he was. And I remember when he passed and they came, the people who bought his horses commenting on what good horses they were.
Oh, yeah. We always had good horses. And he always has had a lot of them. And he had this thing that he would do. He was always saying we had to get rid of some of these horses. But he always kept a matched pair of Belgian workhorses. Yeah. He kept the manure spreader so that it had to be hitched to horses and not the tractor, so that he had an excuse to have his horses.
Yeah, I remember going in a parade with the Belgians one,
yes,
probably 4th of July, yeah. I'm guessing, and it had, he had that giant wagon. Maybe that was a manure spreader.
That wasn't the manure spreader, but it was a wagon. Yes,
yeah, it was,
yes,
huge.
And he had a Surrey,
yeah,
that we used to use in parades, and my sister and I led a lot of parades carrying the American flag, and then I carried that, and Judy carried whatever we were represented, the VFW or the
right
4-H or whatever.
I know. And again, like when I was a kid, I thought, oh, that would be so cool. You always got to ride a horse in the parade and go in the horse shows. And yeah. Then you, but you didn't think so, huh?
Well, after a while, at first it was, but then, you know, you get to be a teenager and you want to do something else.
Well, I think too, like he had to have the matching horses because you and Judy are matching, or matching girls.
Yes, so, pretty much.
So we had the two girls who looked the same on the two horses that looked the same.
Uh-huh. So. Yeah, he liked that. Yeah, that was his. That was his thing. And he used to. He'd go out somewhere and he'd buy another horse, and he'd come in the door and he'd throw his hat in, which was, oh, kind of a
test.
An old-fashioned way of, you know, if it isn't thrown back out, you can come in.
Right. and that's how Grandma knew he had another horse.
She just would say, okay, what have you got? You know, she never threw it back at him. Oh, and we lived there, well, until we lived, you know, until I went to college and my sister went to nurses training and stayed there until we got married.
So when, and so Aunt Nellie, Grandma, is, I assume that's who taught you how to cook? Because I'm
Well, yeah, she used to, Judy liked to work outside and I didn't especially. Mm-hmm. And so she would send me in and just say, I thawed out some meat because we had our own meat in a big freezer. And I thawed out some meat. So get that started, peel some potatoes and find a green vegetable. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much how I learned to cook. I just went in and did it.
Yeah. But I, well, of course, I remember Grandma Burns was Mom's dad. I remember her being a good cook, but I remember that we ate really well, always eating really well on the farm.
Oh, yes. Like,
so I think all that,
yeah,
by watching her cook all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you learn it sort of by osmosis. I just always had to help in the kitchen, so.
Right.
And we did a lot of baking on the weekends when I was at school.
I remember when Grandpa died, and Judy called you and said,
she said, don't, she said, there's one dish, a chicken hot dish, which is a chicken casserole, chicken and noodle casserole. She said, there's one in the freezer. Don't eat it before I get there, if you get there first, because I'll never get to have it again. And I said, well, I don't know why not. I can make it. So. But for years, I made her chicken hot dish.
Yeah. Judy didn't know that.
No.
But
she didn't know I knew how to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
She didn't want you eating up the last of her goodness.
Yes.
Yeah. So when, back to, like, when you were 8 and you were staying with on the farm because your mom was sick, and mm-hmm. how long had she been sick?
Well, probably longer than I knew. Mm-hmm. And thinking back about it, I think she had been sick probably for a year, but she was in the hospital, and toward the end, probably for a month.
And she was in Omaha too?
Well, she was in Scrivener. Well, she was in Fremont, in the hospital, okay. In Fremont, Nebraska. But we were studying to make our first communion, and Judy, who's a year younger than I, got bumped up to my class, which kind of annoyed me. It was my first communion class. But Mother wanted her to make her first communion before she died, so we were in the same class.
But then, so your mom was she able to come to your first communion?
No, but then only Uncle Carl came.
Oh.
And then we went home with them afterwards because Mother was in the hospital. So we went to see her at the hospital, and then we went back to the farm.
Yep. In your dresses.
And in our dresses, and yes.
And then being the oldest, annoying that your younger sister had to hone in on your big day.
Oh, she honed in on more than that, but she was a dear. I miss her a lot.
Yeah. And so then when you were living on the farm, and then when you were little, where were you going to school?
In Flandreau.
Okay.
Well, there and in Scribner. And
so you went in wherever you were, because you moved a lot. Wherever you were, you went into the school that was in town.
Right. And then when I was a sophomore in high school, we went to a boarding school in Howard, South Dakota, which was about 50 miles away. And we boarded there and went to St. Agatha.
And how many boarders were there at that school?
Well, the first year there were about six of us. And then the second year there were just four of us. And
so you and Judy and two other people?
Yeah. And then the year I was a senior, it was just me and Judy and Dory, her friend. So there were just three of us. So.
And where did you stay? Was it part of the convent or?
No, it was upstairs of the school.
Oh,
the high school.
Oh,
and,
really?
No, there was a room up there and a bathroom right across the hall. And then there was another
room.
We were
all three in one room, all four or three.
Oh,
or
we
four?
Were all in the same room.
Like via bunk beds or?
No, it was a big room.
Okay.
And then there was.
So you weren't late to school.
No, no, we weren't. And we had our own dining room down there. We ate the same food that the nuns ate, but we had our own dining room. Had a lot of pheasant and a lot of venison because all the farmers would
donate,
bring it in to share with the sisters.
Uh-huh. And that, so why do you think, why did you go there? When you, like, why did you go to a boarding school?
Well, and they, and Uncle Carl wanted us to go to a Catholic school. Hmm. Mainly Uncle Carl had, so he just thought that was what we should do.
Because there wasn't one by where you were?
No.
So is that when you would have been going in Flandreau?
Yes. Or? Yes. Well, actually, no, in Egan they changed.
Egan. Okay.
They changed the zoning.
Okay. So same farm, though?
Yes.
That one that,
yeah.
And so then, so if it's 50, like now 50 miles away doesn't seem that far, but like.
It really wasn't that far.
But far enough you couldn't come home on the weekends and stuff.
Oh, we did.
Oh, you did?
We came, they came and got us every Friday night.
Oh, okay.
Took us back usually on Monday morning.
Oh, okay. And, yep. And what about the other boarders? Did they go home on the weekend too?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. If you stayed, you didn't stay in the dorm. You stayed with some friends or something.
Oh, okay. So it was only Monday through Friday lodging. Monday through, or Sunday through Thursday.
Yes.
Lodging. Yes.
And it wasn't bad. It sounds a little grim, but it was, it really wasn't.
No,
we
yeah.
had a good time.
You're right. Well, and there were no male board. It wasn't all girls, so was,
no,
were there male boarders?
Yes, but they didn't live with us.
Oh, I know that. Where did they live?
They lived with Mrs. Leitner.
Oh, at someone's house?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She took in the, and there were like four or five boys that lived there, and they did have to come up to the school for a study hour where we all studied.
And were all the boarders farm kids, or?
No, some of them were from neighboring towns.
They just didn't have Catholics.
Either. Yeah. And there were girls who stayed with families. A lot of times they would, you know, do work for the family to offset their cost as they're staying there.
Gotcha.
Had to have a good work ethic when you grow up on a farm.
Yeah, that's true. And so what kind of, like, Judy worked outside.
I did too.
I know. So what were your kind of chores on the farm?
I did all the ironing. I did all the...
That's why you were such a good ironer.
Yeah. And cooking. Did a lot of cleaning inside and out. And feeding the chickens. I remember trying to get out of that and Aunt Nellie saying, chickens don't care how you feel. Go feed them.
Yeah.
And that stood me in good stead over the years.
Yeah.
You got to go do what you have to do.
Yeah. Well, I know more than once I believe you said that to me. Chickens got to eat.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter that you don't feel like feeding them.
Nope.
They don't care.
made you do what you were supposed to do, though.
Yeah, that makes you do it.
Yes, it does.
Okay. So when I was going to ask, that made me think of something about when your mom passed away, and then you went to live on the farm with what I call Grandma and Grandpa mm-hmm. Carl.
Right.
And which is funny, I always call them Grandma and Grandpa Carl, because clearly she wasn't Grandma Carl, Grandma Nin and yeah. Grandpa Carl. And then, so when you, obviously you'd been there and you knew, like, with your mom, had been there and stayed there. So when you went and now you're living there, did your dad come visit, or did you go visit him?
Sometimes. He remarried and had another family, so we didn't see a whole lot of him.
Mm-hmm.
But he did visit us sometimes.
Well, he remarried a couple times, I think. So which
yes.
one was that he had the family with?
Lucy.
Lucy, so Mike and David.
Yes.
But he was married before that too, right?
Yes.
Who was?
Phyllis.
But did they have, they didn't have any kids.
No.
Okay. But then he.
And then he married Arliss.
And then Arliss. So.
And they didn't have any children.
He was obviously a very charming man.
Yes, he was.
Because he always had a girlfriend or a lady.
He liked to be married, apparently.
Yeah. But he, even when he wasn't married, I remember he always had a girlfriend.
Yeah.
But again, like, I didn't even know, because like, I'm a kid and I'm a person, I guess, who doesn't pay attention. But like, I remember when we finally went to go see them, I think they were in Fremont.
Uh-huh.
And I was so confusing. Like, what do you mean this is your dad? What about Grandpa?
Yeah.
Like, it was very, because I didn't pay attention. But I think Grandpa, like I said, to me, that was Grandma and Grandpa on your side, because.
Well, I look at them more as my parents, mainly because I lost my mother so young.
Right.
And Aunt Nellie and Uncle Carl pretty much raised us.
Right.
He gave me away at my wedding, and,
right.
and he also did for my sister.
So when you were little and you used to go to the farm with your mom, were your mom and Nellie like you and Judy?
Pretty much. Aunt Nellie was the oldest, and then my mother was maybe 2 years younger.
Uh-huh.
And they were very close to one another, closer than I think with their other two uh-huh. sisters. They were very close together.
And were they kooky farm, like you guys when they were together? I'm
uh-huh.
laughing all the time.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not drinking as much wine.
No, I don't think they did. But they had a good time together. Yeah. The farm that they lived on that I remember going to when in the summers when I was quite little was a different one. It had no electricity or running water or
wow.
Yeah. And they just rented that and then bought the farm in Flanders where I grew up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's the one where Judy threw a hairbrush at you?
Yeah. But I don't know. And the other one threw a cardboard can of talcum powder that broke all over. It never did come out between the floor cracks.
And what was the reason for accessory throwing?
I don't know. We were arguing about something.
Did you and Judy argue a lot?
You know, I thought that we did, but then when my cousins came to visit, they actually got in physical fights. And other than throwing the hairbrush, which didn't hit anything,
right.
We didn't, you know.
Well, I mean, all most siblings are.
Yeah, we are.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But mostly we got along.
Yeah. Do you think that's because your mom died so
yeah.
young?
Yeah. And Yeah, I think it brought us closer together. And I was 15 months older than Judy, so I was always told I had to watch out for my sister. So probably the reason we got in a fight was because I bossed her around a lot.
Yeah.
And she didn't like that. Imagine that.
Yeah. Imagine that, being bossy.
You never saw that.
Well, I know that when you were older, that you talked every day.
Uh-huh.
And I know after Stuart died, for sure you talked every day, but it was before Stuart died, did you
pretty
talk
much,
every day?
Pretty much. He wasn't too well, so he would sleep a lot.
So, like, when did that start? Like,
probably after I moved to this house.
Uh-huh.
It was after your dad died. Yeah.
And you would talk a long time every day.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes 2 hours, 3. I remember calling, like, mom's on the phone. Yeah.
Not quite.
No, but you would talk. Well, that's good.
Yep. Yes, it is.
And when you went to school at St. Agatha's, and you were the prefect of the, or whatever that, prefect of the
sodality.
Prefect of the sodality, which meant you were in charge.
Yeah, it was like sort of like being the student body president, except it was supposed to be a religious organization.
Mm-hmm.
But it acted as a student body president. Yeah.
So you were like the spokesperson of the...
Yeah, you have to remember it was a pretty little school.
Yes, I know, because you had that, how many, 17 in your...
19.
19 in your graduating class. That's a lot. And then when you have your reunions, I know Judy used to go too, because she knew everybody.
Oh, yes.
Too.
Well, everybody knew everybody. Right. Yeah.
There she was honing in on your stuff again.
Yeah, I got used to it. Came to accept it.
Yep. And then, so do you think by going to Catholic school and then and being the prefect of the sodality, when you decided to go to what you would do after you got out of high school, so what, like when you graduated, what was your vision of like, this is what I'm going to go do now?
Well, I wanted to be a teacher.
And why do you think you wanted to be a teacher?
Because
you were boss.
Yeah, probably because I want, what your brother always said, like about you, you always wanted to be in charge.
Yeah.
So.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah, be a teacher and you've got that.
And you can be in charge.
Yeah. So,
when you left, you knew, like, I think I'll go be a teacher.
Pretty much, yeah. And then I was waiting for your dad to get out of the service, and we got married. And then I taught some more.
But for a while, you went to the convent, didn't it?
Yes.
So
I was a postulant. That doesn't get me very far.
I know. So when you went... Did you think you would be like a nun who was a teacher?
Uh-huh.
And so you went to...
I probably ended up being the same, doing the same thing.
Probably.
Oh, yeah. Only got to pick your
own
school.
Got to pick your own clothes. That was the difference.
Yeah. And got to have my two great kids.
That's true.
And great husbands.
So did you go from high school into to be a nun right away?
In September. That September, and I was there until January.
And so in that, and where was that?
What? Milwaukee.
Oh, I don't think I knew that.
St. Joseph's Convent, Layton Boulevard.
Oh, and then, and what made you pick that convent?
It was the sisters that I had in high school.
That was the same order?
Yes.
Did other girls in your class go to...
Not to that order, but yeah, my friend went to the presentation order. Two of them, my class did. Yeah.
So you must have had good experience there and good influence. Yes, so like yes. The nuns must, like, you know, everyone always, like, even on your class today, people are, you know, telling stories about Catholic schools and nuns, but they must have been.
They were good to us.
They were had must have been really good.
If they were good to us, yes.
And then, so then when you went there, and what is it called? It's not called, what's it called? It's a nun school.
It's a convent.
Well, isn't there a name for, like, you just go to the convent? It's not a.
Well,
because you can take classes, right?
I went to college. They had a college in they still do, in Milwaukee called Laverno. It's a very good, well-known college in the Midwest.
So then, but you're living at the convent with your, there's like a class of.
Of postulants.
How many of you were in your postulate class?
Oh, probably 90.
Really?
Yeah. That was back when they were still, I don't think they get two or three anymore, but there were.
Right. So all 90 people were living like a dorm? Or mm-hmm. Wow, that had to be a big.
Oh, the whole convent was huge.
It had to be. Hmm. So then you went to school during the day and you would have time to do your homework and stuff for being a teacher.
And then you had religious classes
at the convent. And were all of.
Clean the convent.
Yes,
too.
And then you had to clean. But you already were good at that. So when you. Are at the convent, are all 90 of those girls in your class to be teachers, or were there some
there were some that were, it was, well, the name of the order of the school sisters is St. Francis, so most everybody was a teacher, but there were a few nurses, and of course they had some that were cooks, because when they went out to the schools mission. To teach the missions, they had to have somebody to take care of the house and cook the meals.
Right. But were there people in your 90 who were going to learn to be cooks too?
I think so. I think they evaluated whether you had the ability to be a teacher.
And not or a cook.
Well,
they figured they teach you that.
And some of them turn out too good at it.
So did they give you a test, like the ASVAB, or like they just gave you an interview and decided you could?
Well, it was pretty obvious if you
came from a cat.
If you didn't have the intelligence to finish college and become.
And so then you left there in
January. Went to college.
Right. So you left there in January because you got sick.
I got sick. Then, and I went to Mount Marty, which is at that time was a Catholic woman college in South Dakota. Now it's co-ed and it's a university.
But when you came home in January, then you were back on the farm.
Mm-hmm. Not very long, because then school started, right? You know, second semester, I was at Mount Marty.
So you got better in time to go to college.
Well, what I had wasn't debilitated. I think they just got tired of sending me to the doctor.
Oh, okay. They just didn't want. And that was from allergies?
Well, it was eczema and it was migraines. I was really getting devastated with migraines, which is... And I was probably putting pressure on myself, but who knows?
Yeah. And so then you came back and went to Mount Marty, and then you decided, rather than go be a nun, you should marry Dad. What do you think made that change in your life?
Well, because I got sick and had to come home.
But like you still, like if you got better, you could have
gone back.
Why do you think you decided not to?
I don't know. I never gave it a lot of thought.
I tried that. Didn't work out.
Yeah. And I met your dad.
Yeah.
Well, I knew him before, well, but
you knew him from Flandreau,
right? From church,
right?
Basically,
and then, and all those Burns boys.
Yes.
And so then, when did you and Dad start dating then?
I was 19, just about 20. And he was finishing college because he graduated mid-year and went into the Army.
But so when you came back in January and then you went to school and then you start dating him that semester? Or?
No, the following summer.
Oh.
Yeah.
And where did you meet up again with Dad?
Swimming pool. That's where everybody was. Not a very big town.
In Flandreau, the Flandreau pool?
That's right.
Probably the same one I swam in.
Was down by the park.
Yeah, same one.
Except it was new.
Yeah, it was fancy then. Did they have the spot? Probably not.
No. Well, maybe. I don't remember that, though.
Because the spot's been there my whole life, but I don't know at what point.
Yeah, no, that was because Tony McClone came home from, Mark McClone came home from the Army and had all these kids, so he bought that to make a, for a place for him to work.
That's funny. And so then you met Dad at the pool. And where was Judy then? Was she at?
She was in nurse's training.
And where did she go there? Where
was Sioux Falls. McKinnon.
And did she approve of Dad as a suitor?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She always liked him. They got along really well, mm-hmm. which was fortunate.
Yeah. Well, as Grandma said, if you can't get along with Jimmy,
you can't
get along with anybody.
She did always say that.
Yeah.
A little pressure there.
Well, yeah. And so then you and Dad started dating, and then he went to the Army. And did you guys write a lot of letters?
Oh, yeah.
Like every week, every month, every
A couple times a week. A
couple times a week.
I wrote two or three times a week.
Uh-huh.
He didn't write quite that many.
Yeah. Because he was busy saving the country.
No, he just did. Yeah. That's what he always said when he was saving the country. I would like to point out there were no wars going on at that time, so I don't know what he was saving us from, but he did it.
Yeah.
He did not like being in the Army.
Well, it's funny because, like, he grew up in such a big household, so it's not like he was never alone. Like, no. He was always around a ton of people and didn't get a lot to eat. So, like,
well, I think he got a lot to eat. It wasn't just a lot of variety.
Right. So then you think it would be good to go around and, like, he was used to that situation, being around a lot of people.
Well,
maybe he didn't like having bossy people, too.
Just didn't like it.
Yeah. Didn't want people telling him what to do, maybe. And then I know when you got married, you wore Aunt Marcy's dress.
I did. Right?
Oh, it was such a beautiful dress.
It was pretty, yeah.
So lucky that you had someone with a really pretty dress that you could borrow.
Yes. Well, I could have.
You could have gotten
one. Yeah, I could have gotten one, but it didn't seem necessary.
Right. And then when you guys got married, you had a car, right?
I did. I had it, you know, because I was teaching. And
had you bought a car?
Yeah.
With your teaching money?
Yeah.
And what kind of car was it?
It was a Ford, and it used more oil than gas. It was not a real good car. But it ran, so.
And Dad didn't have a car, right?
No. But we traded mine in and got a different one.
Yeah. And then what'd you get?
Pink Chevy.
Pink?
Wow. It was pink. It was a state of the art.
That's funny. So did Dad grad finish before the Army?
He
finished school and then went in the Army. And then when he came back, Did he go right to the Hartford?
Yep. Yeah. He were in Minneapolis. He worked in for the Hartford Insurance Group, and then we got transferred to Fargo, and then to Casper, and then to Powell and Salt Lake, and here to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it sounded like we were migrant workers, but it was all transfers.
Yeah. Well, and how did he get a job with the Hartford?
I just applied there, and they were, he was an underwriter, and then he was a, they called him a special agent. He just, when we lived in Wyoming, he traveled the whole state of Wyoming, mm-hmm. calling on independent agents. And I was just saying, go around saying, yeah, yeah, ray, ray for Hartford.
So was that lonely when, like?
Oh, yeah, and I had two little kids. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he left town, the plumbing would go wrong and the car wouldn't work. And there you are with two little ones running around.
And you weren't teaching then because you had two kids.
I did.
So what did you do while he was gone besides?
Chase you kids. I did a lot of sewing and a lot of reading in the evenings particularly. Mm-hmm. And
were you such a big reader as a kid too?
Yes, I used to get in a lot of trouble for reading when I was supposed to be doing something else. Mm-hmm. Probably feeding the chickens. So, then I just taught school.
Yeah. Lots of places.
Well, I didn't teach so many places.
Didn't you teach a couple in South Dakota?
I'm only in one place.
Oh, okay.
It was 3 years, but I taught in Castlewood. And I taught, the first year we were married, I taught in Minneapolis. And then I didn't teach again until we moved here.
Oh, okay.
Because I went back to school.
In Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I taught, I was at St. Francis de Sales for 25 years, teacher and principal.
Yeah.
And you were running the school district.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all that's all my things, I think, unless you have something else.
No.
I love you.
Except I love you, and I'm
I love you too.
Very glad I have such a great daughter. Mm-hmm. I also have a great son.
Yeah. They have a better daughter.